Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you with it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. You know what to do. The whole world's watching and counting on you. And all you people listening out there, everybody, everywhere.
Hang on, hang on, hang on!
Welcome to Checkered Past, a loving postmodern examination of the Go-Go Check branded comic magazines published by DC Comics between February 1966 and August 1967. I'm Dr. Bob, and each week I'll be your guide on this trippy tour through 535 mid-century masterpieces of graphic noveldom.
This week, showcase number 66, cover date January-February 1967, cover price 12 cents, cover artists Mike Sikowski and Joe Giella, edited by George Cashton, featuring The Birth of Buona Beast, written by Bob Haney, art by Mike Sikowski and George Russos. Are you ready? Are you with it? Then away we go, go!
See how the fluffy clouds move by us.
See how the clouds move by.
See how the morning mist can hide us away.
Hide us away.
And how the day is so much fun.
What? After graduating from college, Mike Maxwell travels to Africa with his friend Rupert Kenboya. When their plane crashes on Mount Kilimanjaro, the men take refuge in a cavern. Mike drinks rainwater right from the cave walls. He suddenly gains super strength and is able to fight off a red ape that lives in the cave. Confused? Don't worry. I'll be right back with Dr. Husband to explain everything.
You know, my mama told me about this.
Well, I think I figured out the sores of my stiff neck.
What?
Your dog.
My dog? Why?
He drags me all over creation. He won't be controlled.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't let him do that.
I don't allow it, do I?
I mean, he does pull, but I correct him all the time.
Yes, yeah. As do I. And I that know. Pulls I my know. Shoulder out of joint.
Well, he's been bothering me. I've been doing a training program,
for
running, and I took him with me. I take him with me all the time, and he's really gotten excited about it. So he just likes to pull and pull, and so I have to keep him in check all the time.
Now, is he on the same program?
Is
he tracking steps and whatnot?
Oh, well, yes. I do once in a while. I'll put a little note in my running about him. Of course, I took Junebug with me on Saturday.
Well, that's not going to work out because...
She saw me getting the leads out. It was after we'd had our walk and after breakfast and everything else. And she saw me getting the leads out and she would not be consoled. She just stood by the door and barked, bark, 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 bark. You know how she is.
Yeah. Did you tell her what the situation was? Because
I did.
I dare say if she understood it was exercise, she would have kept her fat ass on the couch.
You were playing a video game. She would have kept her fat ass on the couch, no doubt. You're playing a video game.
Yes.
And I said to her, do you understand? We are going for a run.
Mm-hmm.
A run?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, row, 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 row. And I was like, oh, okay, all right. So we got out there, and 1/4 mile into our 2-mile run, she puts the brakes on,
mm-hmm.
and she slows down. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. So I had our hound dog, big old hound dog, pulling me and her resisting. And my hand in the middle, just holding on to both leashes. And I was like, I said to myself, I will not give in to this again. I will not take her with me for runs. I think she's just too old. She's just not really into. She wants to, but then she can't sustain it. And I like.
She's not old. She's lazy.
Well, she's not old. No, but she does have white tips. Like her ears have a little white outline.
So yes, she's, yes. You
know. Anyway, and I go slow with her. Like I don't do my normal pace with her.
We need to get those little talking pads, like the. Dog, the TikTok sensation dogs.
That is totally, there's a, the woman holding the camera has got to be pointed.
Just no, because there's a video with her in the shot and she's just letting the dogs walk around and step on the pads and well, say what they want to say.
Really?
Me, ouch.
Me, ouch.
Oh, they say all kind of things.
Really?
Yes, me they hungry? Ponder their own existence.
Oh, they do not.
Yes, the one dog saw itself in the mirror and it's, like, who, dog, who, dog, who, dog. He didn't understand it was themselves in the mirror.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Wow.
Right.
I don't know what. Well, what a week it's been. What
a week. I just thought of a solution for your jogging.
What?
You could merge the two dogs into one chimera.
Yes.
And then it would be the perfect speed.
Well, I was thinking about that after I read this issue.
Yes.
I was thinking about tonight putting on my headlamp. And just putting my roller skates on and staying on this side of the neighborhood and letting Butler pull me until he's exhausted.
You think we gossip about neighbors?
What?
I got a live picture of you roller skating down the street with a headlamp on.
Oh, especially because my rollerblades have rainbow wheels and rainbow laces, but they wouldn't see them in the dark.
I'd like to know what the HOA would say about that. what a week, you were saying.
Yes. Oh.
Bad or good?
Just, it was such a week. I took off Friday because I had a long list of things that I wanted to accomplish for the house. Mm-hmm. And I had some things that I had to do personally for my career. And I got through some of the things. Mostly, I prioritized the stuff for my career first. And I did not have the kind of weekend that I wanted to have. What's wrong?
Is your mic on?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Why?
Well, you're just speaking so softly. I was worried about you.
Well, anyway, I did not have the kind of weekend that I had hoped to have.
I hate when that happens.
I came home from church.
Yes.
And running errands.
Yes.
And read the comic.
Yes, as you should.
It induced me into a stupor.
As per your usual.
And that bastard dog of ours, Butler, who I adore.
Yes.
Decided to bark and bark, and he kept me up. And I one time yelled at it, and Willoughby was asleep on my chest. Well, my belly. He was asleep on my
yes.
belly. I think I got some sleep, but I didn't get anywhere near
Willoughby's a cat, everyone. Not a houseboy or anything like God. That.
No, and he was just purring away and sleeping away, and Butler was just waiting. I think he was waiting until he knew I was asleep, and then he would bark.
Oh, yeah, and that's what he does.
Yeah, and you said, well, why don't you just... put him downstairs and close the gate to the staircase.
Yeah.
Which I wish I'd thought about that before.
Next time. Next weekend, another weekend.
Another weekend.
I don't know how you can sleep after this exciting story. Showcase number 66 featuring the debut, the very premiere of Buona Beast, the Jungle Master. His very name invokes terror.
Well, I only have one criticism because I actually enjoyed this story. That mask is stupid.
It's not a mask. It's clearly a helmet.
And it's stupid.
It's, well, all right. Agree to disagree.
You think it's a good helmet?
I love it. I wish I had one.
It's got butterfly wings.
That's a cheetah.
The print is cheetah, but it's clearly a butterfly.
It's
a butterfly.
Maybe
it's a luna moth.
Maybe it's a chimera of a cheetah and a butterfly because that's what he actually does. Is
what he actually does.
Besides invoking terror with his name.
Okay.
Showcase presents Buona Beast the Jungle Master, Jumbo. Rupert Kenboya from Africa, the Zambezi tribe, class of 61, State University. Speaking. Meet my Africa of today and yesterday, and welcome to the origin story of the outlaw hyphen hero who is already a living legend, the man whom I, against my will, must hunt down or die. Begin it here. The greatest adventure safari of them all, from Kilimanjaro to the mountains of the moon. The birth of Bwana Beast. Kiki wookie wookie.
I was wondering how you would do that.
That's the terrifying cry of Bwana Beast.
Sounds like a bird.
Kiki wookie kiki. This is it, everyone. The howling new one from DC, which roars where other jungle books purr. Now, you must remember, Tarzan was still a hot commodity this period in history, which is why I imagine they're trying to hook into the jungle craze. Because DC did not yet own Tarzan.
Tarzan.
Africa, mother of man.
I'm going to set the mood.
Continent of fantastic mysteries, last home of high adventure, where today the Zambezi tribe has something to dance about.
And they are having a celebration, aren't they?
They certainly are. I found, despite the fact that this is written by Bob Haney.
Yes.
It's kind of not all that racist.
I was surprised.
I am too. I mean, except it's very much told from the colonialist point of view.
Absolutely, but it also there aren't a lot of like deprecating tropes.
No.
I was surprised and pleased. It's like they took it seriously.
Except I don't know that in the 1960s African peoples were still dressing in native costume all the time.
Well,
I mean, this is a celebration.
It is a celebration, and you even see today when they have celebrations, village celebrations, people will dress in traditional attire and dance and such to honor the tradition. So I'm assuming this isn't like, oh, native Africa and Africa of the past, and look how backwards these people are. I don't think that's what this is. This is actually like going to a village and having a ceremonial dance because they're celebrating the movement of materials.
Yes.
Yeah. So
now there is no Zambezi tribe per se. There are Zambezi.
If that was made up.
There are Zambezi peoples.
Okay.
Who live in the Zambezi region of Namibia. Two main tribal groups are the Fwe in the west and the Subia in the east. There are also the Vadoma tribe, who live in the Zambezi Valley and are known as the ostrich-footed tribe because a large percentage of the Vadoma have a condition called electrodactyly, which causes them to only have two toes on each hand and foot.
What?
The result of a small gene pool in the tribal law that forbids members from marrying outside the group.
Oh, well, if you intermarry like that, you're going to keep
the
disorders.
Also, the Bisa people. The Bisa people are a Bantu people who live in what is now central eastern Zambia between the Zambezi River and Lake Bangweolo.
Okay. Fun. Well, are we going to resume the story?
Yes,
Just for the remainder of the celebration, we'll have...
Watching the wild stomping dancers are two stalwart figures, old Kilo Kenboya, chief of the Zambezi, and his son Rupert Kenboya.
My son, it is good for you to return to our village on this great day. Now surely the gods will allow our people to safely pass the place where the rain is born. Yes, your presence is a good omen.
My father, I know that's just your quaint, superstitious way of saying it'll be a tough job getting the first copper ore from our tribe's mines over the mountains past Zambezi Falls to the coast.
Sure it'll be tough, but as police commissioner of our new government, I'll be right there making sure the ore gets through so we won't lose our contract and all the work your warriors have done. Don't worry, I can handle any danger.
So, good for Rupert, he's the police chief.
Yes.
Of the new... government.
And good for us for not trying to attempt to do some sort of access.
No, what would we do?
Yeah, exactly.
And also, Rupert is educated in foreign ways, but the old ways retain their power. Now, as Mondoko, the tribal witch doctor, casts small bits of bones on the dusty earth, which tell of danger beyond the place where the rain is born. Two strange giant beasts fighting. Deadly danger to our people and your son.
His son says he kicks the bones, which I think is an incredible sacrilege.
Yes.
He says, Nonsense. How can you tell the future? My professors at Harvard would laugh if they believed that stuff. This is a new day, a new Africa. The old ways are of no use anymore.
What, Harvard? I thought he was a graduate of State University.
Well, maybe he went to two schools.
I guess. Okay, the party's over.
All right.
The chief calls his own son a fool. Son decides to fire his pistol in the air. Time to get started toward the coast.
Well, in fairness, it was a huge celebration.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, to the coast, Zambezi Bashashi.
And that means Zambezi victorious.
Yes.
Now, what is this interesting thing? He says, go, my son, and take with you the good power of the golden spear for protection. And the son says, father, I really don't need... Oh, what's the use? Take care of yourself. So he doesn't take the spear. Because I was waiting in the story for the spear to reappear.
He doesn't take the spear. It reads as if he's just like... Yeah, he gives up and says, fine, I'll take the spear. But yeah, you're right. It doesn't reappear, does it?
No. And actually, I don't think he's offering him the spear. He's offering the power.
The good power. Okay.
Yeah. At first, I thought he was offering him to take the spear for protection. Right. But he turned it down. So we know that he does not take the spear.
Correct. Okay. So out from the village, over the plains, to the coast of Africa we go. These four trucks full of copper ore and a helicopter tracking them from above, while some miles ahead in the Zambezi Game Preserve, Ranger Mike Maxwell peers through tall elephant grass. He says,
good heavens, it's him. I must move fast.
What's he talking about? Well, I don't know. He's not in the helicopter, is he?
He's on the ground.
Gets in a helicopter.
There's two helicopters, right?
Oh, for heaven's sakes. I can't keep up.
Yeah. Okay, there are two helicopters.
All right. The young game ranger sends his whirlybird rising toward a great snow-capped peak towering in the distance, Kilimanjaro, Africa's highest mountain. Now, this would seem to indicate that the Zambezi region, which we'll assume is somewhere near the Zambezi River, is close to Mount Kilimanjaro.
Yes.
It's 38 hours by car, according to Google Maps. 8 hours by plane.
Okay.
Helicopter's not as fast as a plane.
No, so let's just assume that this is a mythical tribe. No,
well, it's not a true tribe, but there is an actual Zambezi River. You'd think Bob Haney would.
Well, you know, 11-year-olds did not. They might have had access to an atlas, but yes. They would have had access to MapQuest or Google Maps.
An atlas would do.
Okay,
I loved reading maps when I was a tyke.
You know, I did too.
But we didn't have GPS. We had to know how to read a map.
We had a set of encyclopedias.
Oh, sure, we did too. Mm-hmm. They were way out of date by the time I came along. But
how impractical was that? Our parents invested in encyclopedias for us, and by the time that we were old enough to really like them, they were like 15 years out of date.
Sure.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs and man living together in harmony.
I wonder what a set of Christian-based creationism encyclopedias would be like.
I don't know, because that... didn't exist until about 1991.
Yeah.
Before that, everyone trusted scientists. So Mike Maxwell is flying up to old Mount Kilimanjaro, Africa's highest mountain. It's a volcano, dormant volcano, actually. Mm. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Ever higher goes the copter until it reaches the eternal snows that crown the great peak's summit, where a strange, shaggy creature sights it. It's a purple gorilla.
Yes, and then it's climbing down steps.
Yes, there are steps carved into the crater of Mount Kilimanjaro, as everyone knows. Moments later, Mike Maxwell gets out of his copter, and it's Djuba.
Djuba.
Faithful Djuba, the purple gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
Inside the cavern, hidden in the volcano's very summit, where once gushed torrents of scalding lava, Djuba hands Mike Maxwell a cup full of serum The young ranger drains the stone cup, and moments later a terrifying shudder shakes his powerful form, and he rips out of his clothes.
Must be very hot.
What do you mean?
He's an ice-covered Kilimanjaro, takes a potion, and now he has to rip his clothes off?
Oh, it's because he got... It's like Hulk. He hulked out of his clothes.
Oh, okay.
From a niche in the lava rock, Juba takes a strange helmet and places it on Maxwell's head.
May you have the power of the butterfly.
It's not a butterfly.
Okay, agree to disagree. It's a luna moth.
Suddenly, a piercing cry echoes through the volcanic caverns as Mike Maxwell Ranger turns into a being so fantastic, so unique that all Africa trembles at his name, Boana Beast. Ki-ki-ki-wee!
Now, is there a fiery liquid coming out of his anus?
No, I think that's maybe lava.
He is standing, it is a dormant
listener, he's
volcano.
Standing directly over a burning fire. Looks like it may have just dropped out of his
diaper,
which is, he's got a kind of a leopard print bikini with a stripedy loincloth.
Like a little Harvard necktie tied around his waist.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if that says house colors from Harvard. Instantly, with a strength and speed only the jungle animals themselves possess, he races out of Mount Kilimanjaro and, I don't know, I guess, gets back in his copter.
Well, maybe.
Anyway, we rejoin the convoy of copper trucks with a Zambezi police helicopter, and they are approaching the place where the rain is born. They just call it the falls.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Victoria Falls are on the Zambezi River.
Okay.
So maybe that's what they're referencing. Again, 38 hours by car from Mount Kilimanjaro.
It's a long drive.
Victoria Falls, yeah.
Do you know, do you remember the falls in Miami?
Yes, the little mall.
Mm-hmm.
Best movie theater.
They really had a great movie theater. And it was such a lovely place.
It was lovely.
It was one of the outdoor malls.
Our price range at that time in history.
Oh yeah, yeah. We didn't shop there.
No, just went to the movies, mm-hmm. which we also could barely afford.
Yeah.
I bet it's not there anymore because malls are yesterday's news.
But it wasn't an indoor mall. It was cutting edge. It was outdoor retail space.
Uh huh.
Yeah, like the
30 years ago, it was cutting edge.
Oh yeah,
it's a slum district now.
Probably.
Just then, an SOS beacon is flashing near the falls. The trucks head for the SOS signal.
Mm-hmm.
And shortly, as they round a bend in the trail, the terrifying cry of Boana Beast.
What is it?
Ki-ki-ki-wee!
At Boana Beast's brain-chilling cry. That didn't sound brain-chilling, Bob. It sounds like you're asking a question at the end. A huge black elephant, this would be an African elephant, thunders from the trees and attacks with a tree branch? Tree?
Well, he knocks a tree over.
Yeah.
It's Tembo. Tembo, Tembo.
Tembo. And now another cry from Boana Beast.
Ki, 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 ki.
And in the answer, crashing through the brush, comes another of his loyal animal band, a great horned buffalo. And they cry, the drivers cry, kill them, kill them!
And still yet from another direction, a rhinoceros.
His beasts come from everywhere. Everybody screams, flee, flee, flee! And Boana Beast, they topple over the truck.
This...
With the rhino and the elephant, they topple the truck over, don't they?
This really is a great story, so I don't want to be too pedantic about it. But I don't think all of these animals share the same habitat.
Well, I don't actually know. I mean, I thought that the rhinos were on the Sahara.
Yes, or certainly
in grasslands.
More grasslands.
Yeah, and marshy. The elephants actually could cover a lot of territory.
Sure.
And then, but the great horned buffalo, I'm thinking that's not a water buffalo, so that's probably a grassland creature. Of course, the grasslands get flooded seasonally in Africa. So mm-hmm. I don't really know.
You know, I don't either. Let's pretend like we do, though, and let's put our noses up in the air a little bit about it.
You do that. So, hmm. Well, I've still got my nose up in the air about the moth leopard, lunar moth helmet.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Now, these Zambezi warriors take off, abandon their copper ore, mm-hmm. and Tembo just picks up the truck bed, carries it off into the jungle.
Can he do that? Can an African elephant really put the bed of a truck on its back?
Well, he's the king of all Africa's wildlife. It says so right here in the text.
Oh, okay.
Oh, not only does he just pick it up, he wrenches the bed of the truck off of the truck.
Yeah.
Well, now we have a long journey. Let's get started. Okay. Almost like phantoms, Bwana Beast and his fantastic animal army fade into the jungle while not far off near Zambezi Falls. Oh, they do name it Zambezi Falls.
Yeah.
The SOS was a decoy, I'm thinking. Oh. Because the police copter can't find anything about it.
Nope.
Quick, back to the trucks.
Right? That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Bwana Beast has vanished into the brush with his faithful animal brigade, and now the Zambezi, their courage returning, prowl again toward their trucks, where they discover that Bwana Beast is gone, and...
The trucks are ruined.
Trucks are ruined, and one of them is missing.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, a giant face from the jungle. It looks like the Lorax with... what do you call the... Arabic. What is the men's headdress in Arabic culture?
Not a turban.
A turban?
No. Yeah. No, because a turban is a thing that wraps around. This is like a... kind of a turban, yeah. Yeah, it's a turban. It's just draped around under the chin, too, and over his shoulders.
Sure.
He looks like he's half dead.
He looks like the Lorax.
Yeah, his eyes are terrifying. With,
like, a zombie Lorax, probably. Mm-hmm.
Reminds me of a colleague I had at a previous institution.
I know exactly who you're talking about. And, yes, you are correct.
Yeah.
We learn from the Zambezi that this is he who never dies. They fire bullets into the ghostly giant face.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work. As the Zambezi once more take cover, a fantastic machine emerges from the jungle, chewing its way. It's a robot dinosaur.
This is weird. It doesn't look like a fierce robot dinosaur. No. It looks like a cute.
Like a friendly robot
friendly,
dinosaur.
Like something you'd make out of Legos.
Yes.
It's the eyes. Not it's even the Legos. Proportions.
What are the kid Legos? Duplex?
Duplex, yeah. It's the proportion of, it's the size of the eyes. Right?
Yes, it's like it's got googly eyes.
Yes, exactly. If you'd made this fierce robot, fierce-looking dinosaur tank thing with giant wheels for legs, and it crashes through the forest, but then you put giant loopy, oversized googly eyes on it, you know, just to go
growl, growl. controlling this, what do we call it? Dino tank?
Yes.
It's got tank treads.
Yeah, it's got a shotgun and everything. Like it's got a gun mount turret. Yeah.
A man unlike any other who has lived 1,000 years, he tells us, learned every trick and ruse of survival to fall before the warriors of ordinary warriors, the weapons of ordinary warriors. A simple illusion of my face turned to their eyes and arms to jelly.
How do you suppose he did it? Was it like a projector and he used mist?
Yeah, like, remember when the Brady Bunch tried to scare Alice and they projected a ghost on the trees outside?
No.
What?
No, I don't.
Oh.
By the way, I really like your hair today. Did you style it that way?
What? Well, I
don't. It just looks uppity and fun. Oh,
I know. I just was sitting on the couch all day playing video games.
Oh.
It's a crocodile machine. That's what it's supposed to look like.
Is it really?
That's what it says in the text.
You're right. Crocodile machine.
Well,
it's a very friendly crocodile.
Yes.
Yeah.
It comes to a stop, and from the machine exit the fearsome renegade followers of Hamid Ali, outcasts from every part of Africa. Very diverse crew he's got here.
Well, yeah.
All creeds and colors.
Yeah, it looks like he's got a pirate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, they're all pirates, aren't they, I would imagine.
Well, what guy's got a patch over his
eye? Technically.
Yeah.
They discover the Prince of Buona Beast, which Torka can read the signs mm-hmm. of the tracks. So he was here and took part of the ore, but my greatest enemy is not one yet. Into the machine, all of you.
So they all climb into the kooky crocodile.
Yes.
And on they lurch forward.
They lurch forward and push all the rest of the ore trucks into a chasm. And then, moving with surprising speed, the machine grinds off into the depths of the jungle.
Well, I'd be frightened of that thing, except for the googly eyes.
Yes. Some minutes later, as a helicopter flutters down onto the spot with Rupert, the commissioner, he learns the report that Buona Beast ambushed the convoy, stole some of the R.
Some of the what?
R.
Some of the R. He stole some of the R. He, welcome, commissioner. They are policemen, after all, but yes. They happen to be in Africa. Welcome, commissioner. You might be happy to know that Buona Beast stole some of the R.
Yes. And furthermore, he who never dies then appeared and destroyed the trucks. All our works and hopes are gone.
Ah, don't call that bandit Hamid Ali he who never dies. He's an ordinary man, but evil.
I'm sorry, son of Kilo, but he is immortal. My father fought him. My father's father died by his hand. The Zambezi have always fought him. He is eternal as the jungle, the mountains.
You're just ignorant children, but I haven't time to educate you. Hamid Ali is what a Buona Beast is on Buona Beast's trail. I must recover the ore and deal with both of them. Naga, after them. Who's Naga?
The pilot of the helicopter. I imagine it's like a phantom situation where there's
multiple yes.
sons generations, and sons yes, and sons. Yes. Far ahead, Tembo's keeping on track with this ore. It looks like they've reached the desert. And the crocodile machine is close behind them. Mm-hmm. Apparently, there's some kind of pre-existing enmity between Hamid Ali and Buona Beast.
I guess so.
As the trail ends at an area of volcanic badlands, they spot Buona Beast and his animal companions. Buona Beast orders Tembo, the elephant, to keep on keeping on. And he takes off. Buona Beast takes off towards Hamid Ali astride a rhino with the buffalo close beside.
Who's called Shatterhorns.
Kiwi! He places...
Did you hear that?
What? Your guitar?
Kiwi! Yeah.
Now that is terrifying.
No, that is a sign of a freaking fine instrument.
It ought to be fine.
I know, right?
24-hour trip to Ireland.
Did you hear how long it resonated?
Yes, yes. Now... Buona Beast places both hands on his helmet, mm-hmm. gives his mighty jungle cry, ki-ki-ki-wee. At once, an astounding phenomenon occurs as the fabulous powers of the helmet emanate onto the charging rhino and buffalo, and they merge into a single
monster
rhino buffalo creature that is green for some reason
and larger and larger and larger.
Yes. Hamid Ali isn't scared. He's apparently seen this all before. And then the next instant, flesh and bone, horn and hide crash into metal with titanic impact. And look at those googly eyes swirl. Rob. What did you think of this when this event occurred?
Oh, I was really actually quite pleased to see some sort of supernatural powers employed.
Okay.
I mean, we have Buona Beast who flies up into the mountains to get a potion that he drinks out of a stone cup. Inefficient, by the way. He should have that closer to him. And then he talks to animals.
An amulet around his neck?
Well, I mean, permanent powers would be more useful. But anyway, so then he talks to these creatures. Okay, that's cool. Commands them. Really cool. Great. Yep. Then he merges them into a super beast.
Yes.
That is really cool. I loved it.
Now look at this. Here comes the police copter, and it's just as Mondoko's bones foretold. Two great beasts clashing beyond the place where the rain was born.
Right. Neither the commissioner says, shut up.
He is not having it. All right. The copter is dropping lower. Hamid Ali sees the copter coming. He also sees that Bwana Beast has the crocodile tank so elevated that the cannon can only fire upwards. Now the police commissioner dies. Yet, before the gray-faced man could fire the powerful weapon, Bwana Beast sees that Ken Boya is in danger, and with a mighty ki-ki-ki-wee, he crashes into the crocodile tank, throws its aim off, and Rupert sees that Bwana Beast has saved them.
Yeah.
Now, Naga is not having it. He is ready to destroy Bwana Beast and win great honor for the both of them. But Rupert doesn't know the secret.
No.
We don't know it yet either. He must stop Naga somehow from throwing a grenade out of the helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
He grabs the stick, throws the copter out of whack.
Well, yeah, like
grenade
changes the trajectory.
Yeah. And we see Rupert thinking, a favor for a favor. We are even, my friend.
Flashback.
What is the startling connection between Bwana Beast and Rupert Ken Boya, son of the Zambezi? Come with us back to a few years ago at a great American university. Well, it's Harvard, they already said. Yeah. Or State University.
We're at the graduation ceremony. Michael Payson Maxwell, highest honors.
Rupert Zambezi Ken Boya, highest honors. Well, that's not alphabetical order. Ken Boya should have been first.
Well, these are separate snapshots of time. So they tied each other again. The All-American hero and his African pal. Yes, on the football field or the classroom, they were always 1-2. Oh, they were always 1-2?
They were always...
Always 1-2.
That doesn't make sense.
No.
Anyway, hey, buddy.
Wait, Harvard has a football team?
You're asking me? I don't know. They must.
I guess.
I don't know. Let's Google it and see.
I'm going to feel stupid if I learn that Harvard has a football team.
Why?
Why would Harvard have a football team?
Why wouldn't they?
Because it's like a leading research university. And
Harvard Crimson Football, first in the Ivy League.
Oh, it's Ivy League football.
Yes.
Okay, they probably play Navy or something.
They play Yale, Princeton, Columbia, Penn, Dartmouth, Holy Cross.
Navy?
What?
They play the Navy?
Columbia, Harvard. I don't know.
Okay. Naval Academy is what I'm thinking. It doesn't matter. At least we now know that
Stetson?
Stetson is an Ivy League, but Stetson doesn't have a football team anymore.
Well, that's good because they lost to Harvard 0-35.
Yeah. No, wait. Stetson doesn't have a football team. Does it?
Apparently they do.
When did they lose?
September 21st.
Of this year?
Yes.
Huh.
We went to Stetson. That's why we were astonished.
We went to an Ivy League school?
No, it's not.
That's Ivy League is the league of...
What's the sports league is different from academic.
Jesus, why would Stetson have a football team?
And why would they go to Harvard?
Well,
to play.
Imagine who they have to. They have to go all up and down the East Coast to play those
Cornell.
Cornell?
Yes.
Good Lord.
Stetson's in Florida, everyone.
Yeah, it's in Central Florida.
Sorry, we're just going to just sit here with slack-jawed amazement for the rest of the hour. Hope no one minds.
Wow.
Okay. Listener, if anyone knows anything more about football than us, which would probably be literally every listener.
I don't know. Our listeners are pretty nerdy.
Yes, but lots of nerds do
like
sports.
Do you know what I heard today?
What?
I overheard, I can't say where it was. Well, it was going into church, okay? And I overheard two homosexuals speaking with a straight man, and they were all talking sports. They were all talking about football. And I didn't say anything as I walked by and listened to them, but I was like, how are these two known homosexuals, how are they such authorities on football?
Why are you being so derogatory about homosexuals.
I just don't know. I don't know a lot of homosexuals who know sports things.
I don't. Then I don't think you know a lot of homosexuals.
Well, I actually don't really associate with a lot of homosexuals, no. Do I?
Just the one, me. And I don't know anything about sports. I've created a bad impression on you for my kind.
I guess you have. I mean, I know a little bit about soccer, but a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were talking football.
Well, okay. Yes. How do you know they were homosexuals?
I had to turn down an invitation to their wedding.
Oh.
Yes. They're very, very smart men, these guys.
Well, sure.
But I was just like, of course, I couldn't say anything because I didn't want to expose my ignorance.
Each certainly could have chimed in about the color of the uniforms or something.
It's better for me just to shake their hands and say hello and move on.
Anyway, Ken, buddy, it's been a great 4 years.
Check, Mike. 4 wonderful years that changed me into an educated man that can help lead my people into a new way of life.
But where do you go, Mike? What will you do?
Dad wants me in the family business, Ken, but it's not really what I'm trained for.
Then come with me, kiddo, to Africa. My people are building a new nation there. I'm going into government service, and with your training in zoology, I can get you a job as a game ranger, head of all our new national animal preserves.
Africa. I've always wanted to make the scene. I've always wanted to make the scene. That's a bit of slang I can't quite figure out how to say. I was hoping you'd ask me, Ken. I'll go.
Then we're still a team? Fantastic, Mike. Talk about homosexuals. I think these two had a college fling.
So not long after, as a sleek private plane winged over the Atlantic. Pretty nice of your dad to lend us this crate, Mike. I guess these Maxwell millions really do exist.
Yeah, Ken, Dad's not such a bad guy for a millionaire. Ha ha. So Max is rich. Mike Maxwell.
Mike Maxwell's rich.
Sure. So they're soon coming into Zambezi country. They're flying into a storm. Plane predictably gets hit by lightning and has to crash right onto Mount Kilimanjaro.
Right, where they're approached by a beast.
A purple gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
Loyal Djuba. We know now.
Yes, but we don't know it yet to be loyal.
No. Well, Mike's unconscious. Ken gets him out of the burning plane. Juba's in hot pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
Ken's trying to get to safety. He makes it into the crater of Mount Kilimanjaro just as the plane explodes. Juba's still trailing them. Moments later, within the dim interior of the cave, Ken finds a stone cup. Look, that holds possibly rainwater.
Dripping from the cave walls.
Yes.
Or it could be snowmelt.
He gives it to Mike to drink. And just then, Djuba can talk?
Yes. What? He says, Humdari Jabal Golokai. Golokai.
The gorilla, it talks. But how? Must be some weird mutant species.
He says, I gotta protect it from Mike. So he gets up and... What's the guy's name again? Sorry.
Ken.
Ken gets up and he doesn't bitch slap. He punches him.
Punches him. Manly punch.
But the gorilla just picks him right up and throws him across the cave.
Up to the ceiling.
Yeah.
Now, Ken is half stunned at the mercy of the rampaging red ape. And Mike is awake. He's okay. But what's happened? He's become bigger. Stronger. He's ripping out of his clothes. He punches
the gorilla.
Yeah, he fights Djuba to a draw, and then gives his mighty ki-ki-ki-wee.
Beating his chest.
I feel so different, Ken. That drink you gave me, it made me suddenly sense and see and hear like I never had before, as if I'd become part animal, with animal strength, cunning, and reflexes. Can I be imagining it all?
No, Mike, it's true. You don't walk now. Oh, no, you don't walk now, you prowl. And that fight... I didn't imagine it. I saw every amazing moment of it.
Hold it, Ken. Here comes that big red ape again. Maybe for another tussle. Nope. It's just loyal Djuba with the Bwana Beast helmet. The fearsome, manly Bwana Beast helmet.
Which looks like a leopard luna moth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever you think. Now... The strange helmet is placed onto Pike's head, and it's as if I were attuned to the gorilla's mind, feeling his feelings, directing his thoughts. I even know his name now. It's Djuba.
You mean that it's some kind of animal control gadget? Test it.
Djuba. Alem. Alem.
Mike, you can control animals with it. Look at him. Marvelous. What a power.
He's doing a handstand. Yeah. Isn't that adorable? Cute monkey.
Look. Look what the monkey's doing.
But where did this helmet come from? My only guess is some ancient civilization with knowledge and science beyond ours. But what about the strength and agility you seem to have?
Maybe it was the water you gave me, minerals from it. The unusual rock here did it. I'll run a chemical analysis on it. Right now?
Whatever the answer is, Mike, you've
become... I'll just get my kit from the...
No. Plane. Whatever the answer is, Mike, you've become something big, something that could be a great help out here, helping make a new country, a new way of life for my people.
You mean a kind of super troubleshooter?
Exactly. It's a new Africa, but it's loaded with lots of old problems.
Outlaws, renegades, revolts, and disasters.
Yes, and these powers would be a terrific help in my work as a game ranger and in zoological research, too.
But we'll have to keep this new identity a secret.
Check, Ken. And the caves... and
I love that. Check, Ken.
And the caves in the crater rim will make a perfect secret center of operations with Djuba here as caretaker of the helmet.
Nice.
Only 38 hours from your new country.
That's really convenient. Djuba, nice to meet you, my new friend. You're now in charge of housekeeping.
Farewell, Djuba.
Bye-bye.
Guard that helmet well. Until next time, I hope I don't need it in a hurry.
Sleep out that front entrance while you're at it.
And so began the fantastic life of the one destined to become the living legend of today's Africa, the man the natives christened Master Beast, because that's the meaning of the word Bwana.
Does it have anything to do with Beastmaster, that television show from the 80s?
Oh, television
Mark
show.
Mark Singer?
That was a movie, a feature film. Are
oh,
you kidding me?
Goodness gracious.
Talk about tiny loincloths. I think that was the first V-cut abs in pop culture history, possibly.
But he was cut.
I know.
Yeah.
Now, Mike Maxwell, naturalist and game ranger... his secret identity was known only to one man, his old college chum, Rupert Kenboya. And this is still in flashback. Wanna Beast is capturing poachers and whatnot. But already the new hero of the new Africa has made enemies, and the greatest of these was Hamid Ali, he who never dies.
Yes.
Apparently he was running a poaching network, and so he's none too pleased with...
Oh, it's awful.
Wanna Beast.
I understood that poachers were using resources to make a quick living, but the detriment to the actual resources was extraordinary. I mean, it's not that they could replenish themselves at the speed that they were destroying the animals and the creatures, the rhinos.
Right.
You know? Yeah. I mean, it was like not sustainable. It's just you could get a quick buck, but like. That's not going to work for beyond a generation.
Well, they don't care about that. They just care about their own selves. And luckily, that's confined just to small populations in Africa. It's not a worldwide phenomenon.
Oh, yes.
Certainly not here in America.
Of cultures destroying natural resources for the sake of one or two generations'
sure,
wealth.
Right. Yes. Now, the president has summoned Rupert to his office. He was appointed National Police Commissioner because you are the son of the great Kilo of the Zambezi, because you are educated, smart, tough, and believe, too, that we can build a new Africa for our people.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot catch this outlaw, Bwana Beast. Reports of his crimes from all over the country and beyond. Well, he's no criminal, Mr. President.
Mm-hmm.
Those crimes are all Hamid Ali's work, I'm sure of it, though I have no proof.
He says, nonsense. I order you to bring this Bwana Beast to face justice.
I will do my best, sir.
Yeah, that's poor Ken. Rupert.
Right.
Rupert Kenboya. Rupert, he knows that Bwana Beast is not an evil person. He knows that this is...
Oh, I get it. Mike was calling him Ken.
Yeah, because for Kenboya.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should call him Roop.
Roop, that's a nice name.
Now... Rupert goes to report to Mike, the trouble, and Mike says, I'd better give up being Wannabeast.
Mm-mm.
And he says, no, I need you too much, Mike. I told you there were a couple. To fight Hamid Ali and every other criminal in Africa. Besides, as commissioner, I can protect you. It's the best way.
So now we get to go forward to the present scene where the animal is carrying the back, the load of ore on its back, and the crocodile, automated crocodile machine, and the merged beast are fighting.
Yes. And that's the end.
That's
it's the ending on a cliffhanger.
I'm so excited.
I was going to try to do both issues in one sitting.
Oh, I couldn't.
I don't think we can. We'll have to come back next week.
No, this is loaded with so much information. We'll just pick
so
right up.
So much.
Yeah.
I have been waiting for this.
Have you?
Issue a long while. Yes.
I like everything about this except for the helmet.
Yes, your feelings on the helmet are well known to
me. Are they? And you don't agree?
This possibly, I think, might have been the very first checkered issue I ever bought.
Really?
As a back issue, yes.
Okay.
Now that I think about it, I thought it might have been an issue of The Atom, but no, I think it was Bonabeast because I was so fascinated with the character that only appeared twice and never again.
What?
Well, he appears here and there, you know, in cameo.
Oh, but it didn't take off?
No. These two issues, and that was it.
You're kidding. They put so much backstory into this. They laid such a rich foundation.
I know. It's fantastic.
I mean, it really, from the first issue, it completely got me. Like, I was like, okay, cool, great. This is, I'm in.
I know.
And that's a rare thing for me.
I know. I mean, God, if Metamorpho can have his own
comic. Or Plasticman. Not Plasticman. Elongated Man.
Well, he didn't have his own comic. He just has a backup feature.
Oh.
But, yeah. I think they missed a trick with Wannabeast.
Well, they had to make decisions based upon sales.
I suppose.
So we're looking at this, you know, 60, 40, Jesus. 50 years ahead of the after it's been made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Grant Morrison did bring Wannabeast back in the 90s.
I remember that. I read that.
You did?
I read those issues. You had them.
An Animal Man?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Animal Man. I'm sorry. I am confusing Animal Man. Please, go ahead. Tell
you're thinking of Doom Patrol.
I don't know. I read Animal Man.
Okay.
Which was that like a reboot of the story of Wannabeast?
No, and you know, Animal Man, we've had his stories in Strange Adventures, the man with the animal powers, A-Man.
Yes. Oh, so it's a different person. Obviously.
Well, he was also only appeared a handful of times, and then Grant Morrison brought him back in the 90s to great success.
Right.
And also revisited Wannabeast in an issue of Animal Man.
Well, so you did buy the issues of Animal Man when they came out. That's you and I were together.
Yeah.
Early on, when you and I were together, and I remember reading those because I thought the art was really good.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Mike Maxwell hands over the Wannabeast helmet to a South African gentleman who renames himself Freedom Beast. So we get away from the colonialist overtones.
Okay, Freedom Beast.
Well, yes.
It's like French fries being called freedom fries.
No, because he's South African, and it was at the end of apartheid.
Yes, okay.
So it fits.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Maybe you'll have to reread that.
Oh, God. Your list of the comics that I have to read is ever changing, always growing.
And guess what? It'll never end. It'll only end with my death.
It's so the treasure if you wish that, of our relationship.
Go right ahead.
it's awful.
You can find us on social media at GoGoCheckPod. You can find us on our sister podcast, Nerd Orchestra, which is Nerd_Orchestra on Instagram. And you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get podcasts from. And you can find us right back here with the conclusion of Wannabeast's fabulous origin, plus the amazing background of He Who Never Dies, and a bonus blockbuster on Rupert Kenboya's early life. It's only DC's latest and greatest, so miss it never. Listener?
Miss it never. Yeah, we're going to do it next week, aren't we?
Sure we are.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Okay. Right? Same. Right. Girl, same.
Same. All right.
Bye.
Mr. Wind, just keep us sailing.
Keep us sailing along.
In the sky, there's no curtain.
Yes, we'll have fun. So everyone, come on.
Guide us.
When you're beside me, we can fly.